In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
For thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day.
Don't drink now, then.
Not for 2,198 days, no.
Mark Ellis. Everyone on the estate knows who he is and what he does.
Mark Ellis, I'm arresting you on possession of Class A drugs with the intent to supply. You don't have to say anything.
You find the defendant, Mark Ellis, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Get me an ambulance, come on!
The masked driver of a car shoots Detective Sergeant Matt Devlin in the chest in broad daylight. Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks crouches over Matt as he slumps to the floor. The Old Bailey, City of London, EC4, Wednesday, 29th of February, scene of crime. Night. Ronnie stares at flashing blue police lights. Scene of crime officer Joy Ackroyd.
Ronnie, we need to...
She takes Matt's blood-stained jacket from Ronnie's grasp and hands it to another SoCo as Ronnie stares with a furrowed brow.
Bag that for me, please.
Behind Ronnie, Joy briefs DI Natalie Chandler.
There were 5 shots fired from the car window. 2 hit the wall over there. 3rd and 4th hit DS Devlin as he pushed Cade and Blake out of the line of fire. 5th landed in PC Walker's arm.
Joy glances over her shoulder at Ronnie.
He shouldn't be here.
No, I know. Thanks, Joy.
Natalie lays her hand on Ronnie's shoulder.
Come on, let's get you out of here.
Mark Ellis must have ordered the hit on the boy. We need to speak to Ellis.
You need to get back to the station, get processed and go home. Take some leave. Sam Casey's heading up the investigation.
I was here, I was on the scene.
You're personally involved. The best thing you can do is give your statement.
With a gentle pat, Natalie leaves Ronnie staring at police in luminous jackets and blue SoCo overalls. Ronnie stares at the floor at the centre of a circle of seated, listening men and women.
It happened right in front of me. I couldn't get to him. I couldn't do anything. I walked past the pub on the way here. I could smell it. Taste it. I pass that pub every day. And in my mind, I open the door and order a drink. But then I turn around and he's there, by my side, my mate. And I know as long as me and him just keep doing our job, I'll never open that door for real. Only he's not there anymore.
Ronnie slowly turns a bronze coin over in his fingers.
Matt's dead.
Ronnie hangs his head in his Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. A city skyline, law, the police on the streets. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks, ruggedly handsome Junior Detective Sergeant Sam Casey, Paul Nichols, Harriet Walter as gaunt Detective Inspector Natalie Chandler. 3 lawyers walk towards court. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Jake Thorne, Freema Agyeman as elegant Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips, and Peter Davidson as heavy-featured Director of Crown Prosecution Service Henry Shah. The cops and lawyers walk side by side into court. Law and Order UK, original series created by Dick Wolfe. Natalie shows Sam down a police station corridor to a stark room where Ronnie sits alone.
Go easy on him, eh, Sam?
This episode, Survivor's Guilt by Amelia Di Girolamo. Natalie sits beside Sam, facing Ronnie across the interview room table.
You and DS Devlin were escorting Cade and Blake back to the secure children's home in Kent.
Yes.
So, you collected the kid from the cells, and...
No, Maddie collected the boy. I went to make a phone call to my daughter. She just had the baby.
So when you joined DS Devlin outside, did you see the vehicle the shots were fired from?
I should have gone to the cells.
The vehicle, DS Brooks?
Black, dark grey, maybe 4x4.
Did you see the shooter? Give us a description.
I should have been by his side.
Sam follows Ronnie down the corridor.
I'll drive you home.
No, thanks.
You're on leave.
Don't do leave.
Look, I don't need your help. Look, mate, I know it's hard to back off.
You don't know anything.
Well, I know there's no way on earth you can be impartial. Go home.
Sam stops in his tracks and warily watches Ronnie walk on. Ronnie bursts through doors and downstairs. A burly prison guard now leads him past cell doors.
You've got 5 minutes, Ron. This is more than my job's worth.
I appreciate it, Dave.
First the guard, then Ronnie peer through the spy hatch in the cell door. A narrow shaft of light hits Ronnie's face as he enters the gloomy cell and squares up to Mark Ellis, lying on the top bunk.
Who did you order to fire the gun?
What gun?
The gun that killed Detective Sergeant Devlin.
Why would I want that policeman in the ground?
Well, it was the boy he was after, but DS Devlin got in the way.
If a man wanted that boy dead, he would have never walked into court.
Well, tell me you fired the gun and you may make probation sometime in the next 20 years.
Ellis sits up on the edge of the bunk, looming over Ronnie.
From I conquer this thing here, so I man get stripes.
You know how many people are crying over Matt Devlin? Whereas you, you're in here. And there isn't one single person on this planet gives a toss about that, is there?
Time's up, Bond. You're not one in for questioning.
Ronnie leaves Ellis, a silver cap on one of his front teeth, brooding. Ronnie's in Natalie's office.
You're trying to sabotage this case. You've probably cost that screw his job. And any evidence we get from Ellis will be tainted because you went steaming around there like RoboCop.
Now, what do you think? I'm just going to sit at home all day?
You're on leave. End of. Are we clear? Are we clear?
Ronnie raises his eyebrows and walks out. She shakes her head as he passes her office window, then pulls the slats of her blinds shut. She screws her eyes shut, hand to her face. Dumpy Ange with Sam.
A black Jeep driving away from the scene, clipped a yellow Golf. Driver described as an IC3 male, early 20s.
We'll get the witness in for a photo of it.
We've got an abandoned Jeep impounded. There's yellow paint on the front bumper and a gun was found on wasteland nearby.
Who's the car registered to?
Dennis Thomas. He's 25 years old, an IC3 male. Previous for possession and assaulting a police officer.
Where can we find him?
Uniform, visited his flat 10 minutes ago. His girlfriend said he was at work.
Thank you.
Well, I'm coming with you. I mean, this Dennis Thomas might be one of Ellis's gang.
Or a hitman that's never crossed our radar.
That is not how Ellis operates.
I can work it out for myself, mate.
Do you know how many members there are in Ellis's gang? No. Do you know how long it'll take you to go through the records? Weeks. I've got it all in here.
Listen, back in Stockport, my partner got stabbed by some absolute lunatic. I thought I was going to lose him. I know how you must be feeling, but this is not the way.
Well, it's the only way I know.
Laughter Zone Comedy Club, Shoreditch, EC2, Wednesday, 29th February.
It's true! And this doctor says more times about our Kanisha's been to KFC! I've got stopped to search the other day, just the other day! Just walking down my ends, you know, and I spotted 2 white police officers across the street. And then they clubbed me, and they came over to my side of the street. Because normally, people cross away from me.
I knew him see this old world, right? Oh, I started helping him out, you know? Started answering questions I hadn't been asked yet.
Oh, this weed right here? Oh, no, officer, no.
Strictly recreational purposes, yeah.
Officer, this gun? I don't know where it came from. You're gonna have to take me in, you know what?
They grill the comic.
You've got a record for violence against the police.
I shoved some cop on a student demo 6 years ago.
Yeah, you've also been cautioned for possession.
Had a split's worth of weed in my pocket.
See, a gun used in the shooting at 2 police officers was found dumped near your car, Dennis. See, your gags are looking a little close to home right now. Do you see where I'm going?
Listen, I might joke about this stuff. Truth is, I ain't never seen a real gun in my life. What do I look like to you? Some sort of gangster?
But you do own a black Jeep, yeah?
Not anymore, though.
What? Was it stolen?
Nah. I downsized one of my best new comedy act.
So what did you do with the Jeep? It's still registered to you, isn't it?
I haven't posted off the documents yet. I sold it to my aunt last week.
Which one? The one with the chicken wings?
The one with the attitude.
St. Amelia's Nursing Home, Hoxton E2, Thursday, 1st of March. A slim woman in nurse's uniform.
I couldn't find a space outside my flat, so I parked it in the next street. When I went to get in my car, it had gone.
Well, you didn't report it stolen.
Left it on a yellow line. Thought you lot had towed it.
You didn't check?
I ain't got the money to get it back till I get paid next week. Took me an hour on a tube to get here this morning.
Anyone else drive your car, Mrs. Clarkson?
Like who?
Well, friend, family member, maybe, I don't know, kids or partner.
No husband. My son's dead. Thanks for letting me know about the car, but I've got work to do.
Sam follows as she pushes her trolley.
Excuse me, Mrs. Clarkson, I don't think you really understand. See, we think your car was used in a drive-by shooting.
Two police officers were shot.
Oh, I get it now.
Get what?
How hard would you have looked if it was me that reported it stolen?
One of them died, Mrs. Clarkson.
My car was stolen. It's nothing to do with me.
She leaves with a glare. Outside, Ronnie flips the AA coin in his fingers while Sam's on his phone.
8 or 6, are you sure about that? Yep, no, that's great, thank you. Thanks. According to her manager, Paulette Clarkson worked 8 or 6 yesterday. She swapped shifts with one of the other workers.
Any reason for the swap?
Yeah. She wanted to be home when her son got in from uni.
She told us her son was dead.
Finsbury College, Islington, EC1, Thursday, 1st of March.
Jamal's studying sociology. Wants to be a social worker. He's doing well most of the time.
What about the rest of the time?
Well, he's your average first year. Sometimes he turns an essay in late or misses a lecture if he's been partying.
So nothing out of the ordinary, then?
What about guns?
No way. Jamal's heading for a 2-1, not a prison cell. If you wait here, I'll go and get him.
Ronnie picks up one of the handouts the grey-haired tutor left on the lecture theatre seats and sits down reading it. Sam sits on a chair in a row nearby. They avoid each other's gaze awkwardly.
If you want to go and see your grandkid, I can manage without you.
Ronnie stares ahead, blanking Sam. Sam's eyes rove in thought. He looks back at Ronnie.
Boy or a girl?
Boy.
Sam nods, smiling.
I've got a lad myself.
Sam's proud smile wilts as Ronnie stares ahead. The lecturer leads a fresh-faced lad in.
I've got an extension on the essay. I swear I'll be in by Monday.
It's not the essay, Jamal. These police officers want a word.
Wide-eyed, Jamal sprints out. The lecturer presses her back to the wall as Sam leaps up and chases Jamal down the corridor. Jamal dashes into a lift. Sam sticks his arm into the closing door.
I didn't do nothing!
Yeah. Then you got nothing to run from.
Right, what are we waiting for?
What do you mean?
Well, I need to be in there.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Ronnie, if anyone sees you go in there, this case is finished. You're not even supposed to be here.
What are you talking about? I need
to... Look, mate, I can handle it. Just go and get a cup of tea or something.
Sam and Ronnie lock looks.
Please.
Ronnie glances at Jamal sitting anxiously in the interview room on the CCTV screen, then walks out. Sam faces Jamal in interview.
Matt Devlin. Don't know him.
Devlin. He was a police officer.
Maybe he was on the take.
Why would you come out with that?
Well, that's what you people do. Make a little extra on the side.
Yes, Devlin was a hero.
Police ain't hero in my book.
Jamal sneers. Alicia approaches Ronnie as he pours boiling water from a kettle in the office.
Oh, Matt's family coming over.
His sister's on her way.
How are you doing?
I've had my life, haven't I? Been married too many times. Got my girls. Matty never got to do any of that, did he?
Ronnie leaves her staring at the empty chair at Matt's desk. Sam eyes Jamal sternly in the interview room.
Let me tell you how this is going to play, Jamal. You're going to drop this front and you're going to start talking.
The only place you're heading right now is jail.
Get in my face again! I'll lick you down like...
Like what? Like that other copper?
What, are you proud of that?
Are you proud of what you did? You killed a copper! A good copper!
Everyone else round here wants your ass in jail.
You get some kind of bonus in your pay package because you take a black kid off the road!
Yeah, that's right. If he leaves bleeding, I get 2 weeks in Barbados.
Sit down!
Jamal squares up to Sam, seething, glances towards the door, then marches back to the table and slumps down. Sam remains standing, turning away towards the door and running his hand through his hair. He moves his chair to the side of the table, sits and leans across the corner towards Jamal.
Jamal, the best thing you can do is talk to me. I'm your last hope.
You want me to say sorry? The only thing I'm sorry about is I didn't kill more of you.
Ronnie and Alicia watch on the monitors.
I know you people. I know all about you. Some rich white kid in Chelsea gets stabbed and it's front of papers. You all run round with your task force till it's case closed. My big brother gets shot in Hackney and nothing. You know, no one does nothing. He's lying dead in a stairwell and no one gives a shit. No one but me.
So you killed Dearest Devlin just to even things up?
Yeah, that's right. So now we're quit. Reckon I take that brief now?
Sam's in the monitor room.
You've got to get back in there and charge him.
No, I need to get him a brief.
Do we know anything about his brother's shooting?
Well, does it matter?
It might.
He's just confessed to shooting Matt. He was driving the black Jeep. What more do you need?
Ronnie's right. Whatever happened to Jamal Clarkson's brother's got nothing to do with this.
Absolutely.
Once he's got his brief, he's getting charged.
I agree. But if he's got a legitimate grudge against the police, we need to know about it. We want him sent down for life, don't we? So let's do this right. Get an extension to hold Jamal for another 9. Find out about his brother, then we'll talk charges.
Ange.
Ronnie, Matt's sister's here.
Ronnie's eyes rove. He trudges out. He sits beside a blonde woman in the busy lobby. Both gaze into space.
Whenever I heard about it in the news, police officers shot in the line of duty, I'd say a little prayer. You know? Why would anyone do this to him, Ronnie? Why would God take my brother?
Sam appears down the corridor. Ronnie and Sam in the office.
The Gov will be back in 15 minutes. You need to go.
So you're going to tell me what you got then or what?
7 years ago, Hackney Police investigated the murder of 18-year-old Kieran Clarkson.
Right. You got the file?
Yeah, I've got the Chris report, if I can find it. It's case closed.
Someone was arrested and charged, yeah?
No. Not according to this. There were plenty of interviews, suspects even, but no arrests.
So how come case was closed?
Beats me.
And who's the DI that signed it off?
There ain't one.
Well, that's not right, is it? Someone closed this case for a reason. Let's get to Hendon and have a look at the paper file.
Police archive, Hendon NW4.
This is all I've got.
A solitary slim folder in a cardboard box.
Where's the rest of it?
Lost, probably.
But this is the archive. How can you lose half a file?
7 years. Whole archive's been moved 3 times. Then there was that flood.
This is normal. What, half a file just going AWOL?
I'll put out in all ports for it.
Well, here we go. A neighbour reported gunshots. Police arrived at 1:48 a.m. and found Kieran Clarkson dead in the stairwell outside the caller's flat. And the weapon was a Kemar Model 85 self-loading pistol found a couple of feet from the body. Death certificate is missing. See what the postmortem report says. Well, it's empty.
Ronnie studies the details on the cover of the file.
What? What is it?
According to this, Jamal's brother wasn't murdered.
Ronnie turns the file around and leans forward, peering over his glasses.
Committed suicide.
Alicia's in a CPS office.
Well, of course the report says Kieran committed suicide. Why waste resources investigating the murder of some poor black kid?
Matt Devlin's murder has nothing to do with race.
I bet the white kids get their brief before your officers extract a confession.
Your client refused a brief until after he confessed.
He's just a kid.
He's 18. He's an adult.
When you were 18, you were capable of holding your own in a room with a murder detective?
When I was 18, I wasn't out shooting police officers. Let's get real here, Doug. This case isn't about a 7-year-old suicide. It's about your client murdering a police officer.
I would have thought you'd be a little more sympathetic, Miss Phillips.
Why would you think that?
You know what it's like for people like us.
Legal advocates. You can try and build as big a smokescreen as you like, but the fact remains. Your client shot Matt Devlin for one reason only, because he's a police officer. Was a police officer.
No. Because his brother was murdered and loads of other police officers fobbed him and his mother off. This is not the sort of case you want to put before a jury, Alicia.
The man your client shot was no racist, Doug. Jamal didn't care who he shot as long as it was a cop. And that's just the sort of case we like to put before a jury.
Alberto's Cafe, Covent Garden, Friday, March 2nd. Ronnie pats the AA coin on the Formica tabletop. Sam swans in and slaps down an envelope.
General Registry found the other half of Kieran Clarkson's case papers. Now, there's no death certificate or PM report, but the same witness was interviewed 3 times. He was under 18, so referred to as Witness A.
Well, let's hope that Witness A remembers seeing Kieran Clarkson put a bullet in his own head. Does the file give the witness's real name?
Yeah. You are not going to believe who it is.
Ellis sidles down the station corridor ahead of his brief towards Natalie. He stops in front of her and slowly slides out his long tongue in a licking motion. She sits facing him. Ronnie joins Ange, Alicia and Jake watching screens in the monitor room.
That fireman was supposed to have added a hit on the pretty boy cop. What do you want to know about Kieran Clarkson for?
Because you were questioned over his death 3 times.
A little late, that, you know.
The girl's gonna kick off if she sees you here.
You told the investigating officer you saw the shooting.
Ellis eyes Sam beside Natalie, then grins.
What's so funny?
7 years now. Any last time I worked at all?
Worked what out?
I saw Kieran Clarkson get shot. It was hard not to see when you're the shooter.
You?
Ellis turns his leer towards Natalie, then raises his cuffed right hand up, middle and forefinger pointing toward her like a gun. He aims at the camera and mouths, boom. Sam and Ronnie in the stairwell.
It's a hell of a coincidence. D.S. Devlin gets shot on Mark Ellis' trial, and Ellis turns out to be the one that shot Jamal's brother.
I don't believe in coincidence.
Jamal's brief ain't gonna let him talk to us unless he's right there making sure it's a no-comment interview.
Who said anything about calling his brief?
Ronnie.
Well, officially, I'm not supposed to be here, am I?
How many times? We've got to do this by the book.
No, we've got to find out the truth. That's what we've got to do. That is not going to happen in an interview room under caution,
is it? It's too late.
And why is that?
The guard, she wanted him charged.
Ronnie turns downstairs.
No, Ronnie.
Prisoner holding bay, MIU, Central Headquarters, Bow Street, WC2, Friday, 2nd March. Jamal glowers at Ronnie through the square steel mesh of a holding cage. Ronnie narrows his eyes and steps close to the other side of the bars, facing Jamal.
Why did you go to the Old Bailey? Why couldn't you have just shot some cop or walking the beat on your own estate? Eh? You didn't go there to shoot a cop at all, did you? So why did you go, eh? It's only you and me here. It's not being taped. I want to know. Come on, tell me why.
Because my brother's killer's up in court, innit?
Mark Ellis.
My brother wouldn't kill himself. He wouldn't. After he died, Ellis was mouthing off, telling anyone who listened he'd shot Kieran. You lot, you knew it too, but you let Ellis walk.
So this is about revenge on Ellis. Why now? Why now?
It was my last chance to make sure he paid for what he'd done to Kieran. I drove around the back of the court. I thought I could get him there, but I saw that sweatbox pull away and I knew I was too late. I was 11 when Kieran died. What was I supposed to do?
sit there and watch my mum crying.
So you couldn't get to Ellis? And so you then shot a copper? How is that going to help you?
They're all walking around like they ain't got a care in the world when my brother is rotting in the ground. Should have been me.
Jamal slides down the side of the cage against the bars, his face crumpled with anguish. Ronnie crouches down to his level.
When someone you love dies, the hardest thing is being left behind. You'd do anything to bring them back or take their place.
Natalie storms out from the police station with an officer, then marches up to Ronnie.
Get him in the van. You deliberately went against my orders. Now either you get out of here quick or I'll have you put in one of these cells. Is that understood?
They hold a rueful look. Natalie strides back inside. Home of Matt Devlin, Golders Green, NW11, Saturday 3rd March. Ronnie puts the lids back on butter and jam left open on the side. Ronnie blinks and leans on the worktop as a short-haired black cat wanders in. Ronnie stoops as the cat rubs against his legs.
Hello. Cautious. Yeah. I miss him too. Some food. Come on. There you go.
An empty cat biscuit box. Ronnie goes to the fridge and pauses as he sees a smiling photo of Matt with his sister on the door. Ronnie's face drops as he opens the bulky door of the tall fridge and sees a couple of bottles of lager on the shelf in front of him. He stares at them for a moment before reaching his hand forward, coming to rest on an open tin of cat food beside them. He takes the food and slams the door. Bell Yard, London, WC2, Monday 5th March. Jake strolls with Henry.
Mark Ellis is doing life as it is. He probably thinks a few more years won't kill him.
You think he's playing with us?
Think he has any morals? He's hardly a fan of the police, so why not have a bit of fun at their expense? Anyway, the post-mortem report states that Kieran Clarkson's death was suicide. Not that it matters either way when it comes to our case.
Oh, it matters. An 18-year-old lad and a bungled investigation into the death of his brother. It's a sort of emotive mitigation that could get Jamal Clarkson 5 years for manslaughter instead of life for murder.
Jake and Alicia with Doug at CPS.
I'm going to run an abuse argument.
On what grounds?
Abuse of process. D.S. Ronnie Brooks was sent on leave, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So what was he doing interviewing key witnesses, including my client, who he questioned alone off tape?
Doug and Jake in chambers with Justice Pedotti.
Well, I understand D.S. Brooks was on compassionate leave at the time of this interview.
Which is precisely why it's an abusive process. He had no right being in the police station, let alone interrogating my client.
My lord, I do not condone D.S. Brooks' actions, but they in no way impede the defendant's ability to have a fair trial.
I'm sorry, Mr. Greer, I have to concur with Mr. Thorne. Trial goes ahead. However, I take a dim view of D.S. Brooks's behavior during the investigation and have no problem with you raising this in evidence.
Thank you, my lord. I'll also be adducing evidence in relation to the defendant's brother, if that meets with your agreement.
I'll hear your argument at trial.
Jake and Alicia late at night.
With the wrong jury and a sympathetic judge, Jamal Clarkson could be out in time to celebrate his 21st.
We could make an application to exclude all evidence of Kieran Clarkson's death as irrelevant.
Or we could prove beyond doubt that he committed suicide and prove the police did nothing wrong. Start with whoever wielded that felt-tip pen.
Alicia walks with Dr. Gail Bernard to her car.
7 years ago? Are you serious? I could barely remember 7 months ago with the workload I had back then. Not that it was appreciated.
The Home Office Pathology Department seem to think you have the files, Miss Bernard.
It's possible, I suppose. I'll take a look, get back to you.
When?
When I have time. I'm being called as an expert witness in Leeds tomorrow, Newcastle next week.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. The files will be evidence in a murder trial.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. It's not my problem anymore.
Hand those files over or we charge you with theft of government property. Is that clear enough?
Having stopped Dr. Bernard shutting her car door, Alicia steps aside. Alicia's in a Home Office pathology lab.
These notes are pretty detailed. Cause of death was a single gunshot wound to the skull. Gunshot residue pattern noted.
Is it consistent with suicide?
I said her notes were detailed. I didn't say they were complete.
Why aren't I surprised?
There's nothing here regarding the position of entrance or exit wounds. You really need to study the beveling of the bone at both points to know which direction the bullet was travelling in.
Wouldn't there be post-mortem photos?
I'm not seeing any.
So they're missing or they weren't taken in the first place?
Well, maybe she used the pictures for a lecture or a research study. It happens all the time.
So we're no closer to knowing if it's suicide than we were before we got the file.
Oh, there is one way. Get me the skull of Kieran Clarkson. I'll tell you for sure.
She looks at the bespectacled lab technician. Alicia stands behind a clear screen beside Paulette Clarkson as masked morticians carry a coffin into the morgue.
You don't have to be here.
Oh, yes, I do. The day I brought him into the world, I swore to God I'd always be there for him. Every step of the way.
Alicia nods. The morticians place the coffin on a table and use a hammer and chisel to prise the rotting lid off. Paulette clasps her hand over her mouth. The coffin is loaded with sandbags.
The funeral home was owned by Damien Haleford.
It isn't anymore.
Haleford was convicted 5 years ago for flogging corpses to foreign medical schools. The investigating officer thought they'd identified all the missing bodies.
Except one.
Look, none of this has got anything to do with Matt's death. Tell me you're going to put his killer behind bars.
I honestly don't know. I thought it was cut and dry, but I had no idea that Ronnie had been involved in the investigation.
No, well, he wasn't supposed to be.
Please, tell me there's nothing else I should worry about.
Crown v. Clarkson, Trial Day 2, Sam.
Forensics determined the bullets retrieved from D.S. Devlin's body were fired from a 38 caliber gun. Now, we found the gun that fired those bullets dumped near the abandoned car.
Did you speak to the defendant?
Yes, I brought him in for questioning.
And did he have anything to say about D.S. Devlin's death?
Yes. He confessed to killing him.
No further questions, my lord.
Did you question Jamar about where he got the gun?
Yes.
And whose car he was driving?
Yes.
And there was something else about a holiday to Barbados.
Jamal and Doug fix looks on Sam.
Yeah, your client was extremely volatile. I was trying to make him see sense.
So you got angry?
I was in control.
Were you in control when you told him that the police service would give you a free holiday to Barbados if you beat up a black suspect?
The jury turn their looks on Sam. He looks at them plaintively.
I was kidding.
Who assisted you with the investigation?
A number of officers.
Was D.S. Ronnie Brooks one of them?
He was on leave.
Yet he accompanied you and contributed to questioning a number of witnesses, did he not?
Jake shoots a look at Doug from the prosecution bench. Sam hangs his head.
Could you answer the question, please?
Yes, he did.
So you let an officer you hardly knew, who was grieving his partner's death, interview the man suspected of killing his partner?
Yes, but I couldn't stop him.
This is all sounding very familiar. I mean, this is what happened to Jamal's big brother when he was murdered. Hackney police made the case disappear by calling it a suicide. They kept it invisible by not only losing his files, but Kieran's actual body. My client pulled the trigger, and that is why you may find him guilty of manslaughter, but not murder.
My lord, is this a speech or a question?
You can leave the summing up to me, Mr. Greer.
I'm not a racist.
I know you're not.
Yeah, but he made me look like one.
Sam's outside with Jake.
Is this going to screw up the case?
It's not you screwing up this case, Sam. God only knows what Ronnie was thinking of.
Will Jamal Clarkson still go down for this?
Jake shoots Sam a sidelong glance. Jamal looks on as Doug grills Ellis on the witness stand.
Can you tell us about the last time you saw Kieran Clarkson?
Well, he must have been seen chatting with my regent's girl, no? So me and my gang are part to our next end and go look for him, see?
And what happened?
Turn him back and start running for him life, you see? I man shot him in the back of him headpiece.
Doug glances at Jamal as Ellis gloats.
Did the police question you in relation to the shooting?
Yeah. Told him it weren't me.
And they believed you?
Looked like they did, yeah.
You're serving life for conspiracy to murder, is that right?
That's what you are saying, yeah.
So you have no reason to lie?
His head lolled back and to one side, posturing, Ellis pouts and shakes his head. Jake rises.
You have no reason to tell the truth either, have you? In fact, you've changed your story quite considerably, have you not? On your first interview, you told Hackney Police that you didn't see anything. After the post-mortem, you changed your story and told them you were walking up the stairwell when you heard a gunshot from the floor above. You got there a second or so later to find Kieran Clarkson dead on the ground, gun beside him, and no one else on the scene.
I told them what they wanted to say, innit?
And now you've changed your story yet again. And why not? It'll make no difference to your sentence if you kill Kieran Clarkson or not, will it? Though I imagine being responsible for a gang killing will make a considerable difference to your status inside.
Well, you can't disrespect my aim now, is it?
More cred to you for having shot and killed a man than having gone down for a bungled, attempted murder, I presume. No further questions, my lord.
I can't remember details of a post-mortem I performed 7 years ago.
Please show the witness Exhibit 9.
Thank you.
You recognize this, Dr. Bernard?
Yes, it's a case summary from a post-mortem. It has my initials, so I must have conducted it.
If I may. It contains the basic details of a case.
The detailed reports would be kept inside.
Doug holds the file open upside down dramatically.
Only this one is empty. Does that mean you didn't do the detailed report?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't complete the summary until after I completed the report.
And you know it was a suicide because you ticked the little box.
That's right. I perform thousands of post-mortems and always follow the exact same procedure.
And what happens after you have ticked that little suicide box?
The case is closed.
So hypothetically, if a police officer was frustrated with the case going nowhere, you could help him out by making that little tick.
Doug turns the file to show the box.
That's absurd.
But possible.
Her smile drops. She drinks from her glass of water as Jake stands.
You have in front of you Exhibit 11. Do you recognize it?
Gail opens another thin file.
Yes, it's my notes from the post-mortem on Kieran Clarkson.
Earlier, Mark Ellis gave evidence he shot Kieran Clarkson in the back of the head. Do your notes confirm this?
Actually, quite the opposite. The pattern of gunshot residue indicate the bullet entered the skull here.
So, in your opinion, Mark Ellis must have been lying when he claimed he shot Kieran Clarkson in the back of the head?
Yes. In order for me to tick the suicide box, there must have been other forensic markers indicating this was not a murder.
Gail pointed at her forehead. Alicia.
I may have misunderstood the pathologist I spoke to. I think Gail Bernard is taking liberties with the truth.
After what I did for you in court today, I was expecting champagne.
Well, you must have already sunk a bottle or two if you think what you did today is worth celebrating. You lied in the witness box.
I embellished.
You misled the jury. You deliberately missed out the most crucial bit of information.
Gunshot residue isn't enough to determine a bullet's entrance and exit point.
You think a jury will know that?
This isn't a game, Dr. Bernard. The defense will smell the same rat. Have you any idea of the damage it could do to this trial?
I didn't even want to give evidence. I told you, I don't remember anything about this case. I did it to help you.
You did it to help yourself. If the whole world saw how slapdash you were in the Clarkson case, then your lucrative little business as an expert witness might dry up. Your embellishment means that your entire evidence could be ruled inadmissible.
How am I supposed to give evidence about a case I don't remember? I was overworked and exhausted most of the time I was in that job.
Hang on. Are you saying you ticked that box by mistake?
The truth is, I honestly don't know.
Well, because of you, Kieran Clarkson's family will never know how that boy died.
Gail looks at Jake sullenly. Ronnie sits in Jake's office at night.
Doug Greer's called Dr. Bernard back to the witness box first thing. The jury hears she lied and we're up the creek without a paddle.
Well, is he going to call Jamal?
Of course. Greer wants the jury to hear firsthand how Jamal's the victim and the police are the villains.
Well, Greer said that Jamal never went there intending to kill anyone, but that's not the case. Jamal told me that he went there planning to kill Ellis. If the jury hears him say why he went there and what he was going to do and what he did, then surely they will see that as murder and not manslaughter.
Greer isn't going to let Jamal repeat anything like that in the witness box.
Well, someone's got to make that kid grow a conscience. Couldn't you make him open up in cross?
I hope so, Ronnie.
Because unless he talks, the jury will acquit him of murder.
When my daughter was about 10, my then wife ordered her a doll for her birthday. Well, the doll didn't turn up. We just assume it got lost in the post. Just in case, I went round a few neighbours' houses just to ask if anyone had taken a package in. Anyway, I got round to Mrs. Riley's house and there was her granddaughter playing with the exact same doll. Mrs. Riley reckoned she'd bought it in the market.
Is there a point to this?
Ronnie's with Paulette.
Well, about a week later, I got a phone call from my daughter's school. My Sarah had been fighting with Tina Riley. You see, Sarah had heard me, after a few too many drinks, screaming blue murder at Tina Riley's nan. Hatred is not inherited, Mrs. Clarkson. It's learned.
I didn't talk Jamal into doing this. If that's what you think.
I think I understand how angry you must feel. I can see it in your eyes. And I can only imagine how Jamal felt looking into those eyes of yours for 7 long years. You have every right to feel betrayed. I mean, your son's case was riddled with mistakes. And I don't know if those mistakes were racism or just human error. I do know that it hurt you very badly. The police officer that died, his name was Matt Devlin. He was like...
Ronnie's chin trembles as he looks into Paulette's eyes.
My son.
He nods emphatically.
If your son was murdered, I swear to God I will go after the person that covered it up myself. But I'm begging you, Mrs. Clarkson. Mrs. Clarkson, please, talk to Jamal. Make him face what he's done to everyone that loved Matt, especially his sister. She needs justice for her brother, every bit as much as you and Jamal need to know the truth about Kieran.
Tears well in Paulette's eyes and a single tear runs down her right cheek. She draws her head back and, with a shallow nod, looks at Ronnie. Crown vs. Clarkson, Trial Day 8, Wednesday, 4th of April. Dressed in a smart grey suit, white shirt and ruby tie, Jamal looks across at Paulette in the gallery, who gives him a reassuring nod. Jamal addresses Jake.
Was it supposed to go like this? Kieran died. He died and no one cared. They let his killer walk.
And you wanted his killer brought to justice, didn't you?
I wanted him to pay for what he did to me. To my mum.
Jamal bows his head forward, his heavy brows knit together.
I went looking for him, for Ellis. Only he was gone. There was all police. I just thought.
Thought you'd kill one of them instead?
I thought I'd make me feel better.
My lord, if my client's going to change his plea, I'd like to request a brief adjournment.
I don't need any more little chats with you.
Duggery sits under Jamal's rebuke. A tear runs down Jamal's face.
I thought I'd feel better. But it still hurts just the same.
He looks at Matt's sister.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I took your brother away from you. I'm so sorry.
Tears streaming, Jamal hangs his head. Brow furrowed, Ronnie puts his arm around Matt's sobbing sister. He looks across at Paulette with a smile. She smiles mournfully back and nods. Sitting at Matt's desk in the incident room, Ange brings Ronnie a large paper evidence bag, then leaves him alone. He reaches gingerly into the bag and tenderly pulls out the blood-stained jacket, folding it and laying it on the desk. He takes out his AA coin and spins it. As the coin spins, Jamal stands in the dock in court.
Jamal Clarkson, you have pleaded guilty to the murder of Detective Sergeant Matthew Devlin and are sentenced to life in prison. In light of your guilty plea and the remorse you have shown, I am setting a minimum time.
The coin wobbles down, face up. Ronnie sits staring at a large tumbler of whiskey on the bar in front of him in a pub. His eyes blink. He reaches his hand slowly forward. A figure appears beside him and snatches the glass away. Ronnie looks across to see Sam beside him. Sam knocks back the shot in one hit, wincing. Sam puts the tumbler back on the bar, followed by the AA coin, which he slides towards Ronnie. The coin reads, "To thine own self be true." Ronnie picks up the coin. Ronnie looks up at Sam standing beside him and gives him a respectful nod. Sam returns the nod and smiles. Caption: the characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC Audio Description.